And that's all I knew, but I don't ever remember learning that. What a blessing that is. But well, one day I learned the truth of it, though. I'm glad there is victory in Jesus, and praise the Lord for that tonight. Well, I'm usually on standby, and I stand by and stand by, so now I'm going to stand in. And the preacher, I talked to him today, and he said he wasn't feeling good. I said, you're going to be altar tonight? He said, you might want to be ready. So I might be ready. So let's all take our Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll just try to give you a few truths from the Word of God, be an encouragement to you tonight. I can't help you, but the Word of God can, and God's touch and His presence can. And I pray you've come seeking for help from the Lord, not for me or anybody else. But I'm glad there's help, glad there's strength beyond measure in God's Word and His grace. If you find that, go ahead and stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We'll read about 11 verses out of this chapter. We'll start in verse number 10. The Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also that also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves unto you, again to you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer to them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he that died for all, that they which should live not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God, for mercy. Thank you, God, for the blessed truth of the Word of God we've been allowed to read just from these verses tonight. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we just try to stand in this place tonight. Lord, I can't stand here without praying for Pastor Stewart, Lord, nor when he's not feeling well tonight. I pray, God, one more time, your hand to be upon him. I pray you'd strengthen him physically, but God, I pray you'd encourage him spiritually, Lord. I pray that you'd just help him, Lord, not to get down over not being able to be here, but Lord, I pray you'd help him just take courage and help him and strengthen him, Lord, and help him, God, just keep victory in his heart and his soul. I pray you'd help us as we meet tonight, Lord. You know the burden everybody here's faced today and faced this week. You know the battles that they're facing. God, I don't. I can't read their minds. I can try to read their expression. But God, you look down into the uttermost regions of their heart, and you know what the burden is. And I pray, God, you just help in the service tonight. God, you'd take this word of God. You'd help me. God, I want to be submissive to your spirit. God, I confess my inability tonight, and I submit myself wholly to you in this pulpit tonight, asking you, God, just to touch me. God, fill me with the Spirit of God. Give me that utterance I need to impart these truths to folks tonight. Lord, I pray you'd just meet with us tonight. Lord, I'm really not interested just going through the motions of preaching tonight, but God, if you'd just help us and be our helper and help each one here tonight. God, we plead the blood on this service tonight. Ask you to hold back the forces of hell for just a little while. God, we claim and stand in the victory that we sang about a while ago that Christ purchased on the old rugged cross. And we bless you for that. Now, Lord, if there's one in here tonight that's never truly been saved, I pray the Spirit of God would deal with their heart, draw them to Jesus. Lord, if there's one here going through a great time of temptation, Lord, maybe about to walk away, I pray, God, that one more time you'd speak to their heart and God bring them back into the fold. We'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'll look at verse 14 one more time. The Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That word constraineth means compels, forces, obliges, or strongly encourages. It's difficult a lot of times in the day we live to stay on fire for God. Sometimes I feel like I live from event to event. Something happens in my prayer life and I pray and we get to that point and I say, all right, Lord, I got a point for something else. I've got to strive for something else just to try to stay motivated. And I'm just being honest with you. But you know, it needs to go beyond that. I need to be motivated beyond that. And there's some things in the Word of God that we find in this chapter that can help us and motivate us. Now, I know a lot of times we're guilty of allowing the wrong things to motivate us as we try to serve the Lord. We think, well, what motivates me to serve the Lord is when my finances are in order. And a lot of times we sing the songs about so much to thank you for, and usually, sad to say, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Praise God, I've got money in the bank. But you know, that's not what we're singing about. And I thank God if that's the case for you, praise the Lord. But if that's all you've got to thank Him for, you're missing something. Sometimes you say, well, I thank the Lord I've got my health. Well, that's good, and praise the Lord for your health. But what if you didn't have money? What if you didn't have health? Would that mean God loved you any less? Would that mean you had any less to thank Him for? So that can't be motivation to live for God. That's circumstances. Well, I'll tell you what circumstances will sink your ship tonight. But we as children of God, we need to stay focused on the mark. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to look beyond the little things and the temporal things and the carnal things and those things I just mentioned in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus 4 or 5 times in just a few verses, those last 10 or 12 verses, told us not to take thought about those things, not to worry about them, because you can worry, it's not going to add hair on your head. It's not worry, it's not going to put food on your table. He said, don't you worry about that. I know about all of that. He knows every sparrow in the field. He knows every lily in the valley. He knows every hair on your head. And He's worrying and caring enough about me that I don't have to worry about it. You know, you think about your children tonight. These little ones, I look at these little girls over here on the side and some of these little guys in the back. They're not one bit worried where their next meal's coming from. They're not one bit worried about if there's going to be clothes to put on when they got home. They're letting their mom and daddy worry about that. Wouldn't it be good for us tonight if we could learn that lesson? I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to beat my pillow up at night. I'm not going to beat myself up tonight. I'm going to say, Lord, you worry about it. I can't do anything to change it. But God, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills under 1,000 cattle and the mineral rights and all the hills. And Lord, I'm just going to let you worry about that. Boy, wouldn't you like to be able to sing Victory in Jesus right there? I probably need to sit down and listen to that while I'm preaching today. I need both ends of that. Amen? But we can't let those things be the motivating forces. There's about 3 or 4 things in this passage that are legitimate motivating forces for lack of word, for force in our life. First thing I want to remind you that needs to motivate us is, well, look at verse number 17. What a great verse, great truth this is. Are you marking your Bible? This is a good one to underline, a good one to memorize, a good one to shout about, a good one to testify about. Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What was motivating Paul right here was salvation's change. Aren't you glad when you got saved that God changed you? Paul wrote a few chapters back in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. As such were some of you, but ye are washed, but you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad God is in the changing business. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in the time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, by His rich grace, saved us. Aren't you glad there's a change in salvation? Aren't you glad that God didn't leave you where He found you? What a blessing that is. But you know, when He saved us, He changed a few things. Number one, He changed our destiny. I'll run through these real quick, but we can rejoice in that. You realize right now, I ought to be in hell. You ought to be in hell right now begging God for a drink of water because of my birthed into this world, birthed in sin, a sin nature.
Bible says, wherefore as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, therefore death passed upon all men for all of sin. He said in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. And that death, that's what I'm talking about, that's hell. I deserve hell. But I want to tell you, you're looking at one right now that is hell-proof, heaven-bound, with a hammer down. God changed my destination. Not one hair on his head will ever feel the flame of the charred walls of hell. You say, well, I don't mean to sound arrogant tonight, but I can sound boastful, not on anything I've done. Thank God I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm just waiting to be delivered. It's real. I don't have to go to hell. Praise God, Jesus rescued me from the fires of the pit. Maybe I'll just stop and call time out right there, throw a leg up in there and dance around and say, praise God! Praise God! All through eternity, I'll never one time even smell the smoke of that horrible place. Thank God Jesus rescued me from that place, but he just didn't change our destiny. He changed our direction. I think about how I was going and where I was heading. I looked at these verses we read a while ago in 1 Corinthians 6 where it says, as were some of you. Boy, think about where you were. Think about what you were doing. Think about what your aim in life was. I mean, my aim in life was all about Tim. My aim in life was all about pleasure. My aim in life was all about me. But thank God one day Jesus opened my eyes. Think about what you were doing. Don't have to snort anything. Don't have to drink anything. Thank God he changed my direction. Glad I'm not involved in that anymore. Sometimes this world, they think they're having such a good time. They think they're having such pleasure. But I'm glad that God changed that direction. See, the course this world's on a broad road. He took me off the broad road and put me on the narrow road. Amen. And I praise the Lord that he changed my direction. But he didn't just change that, but he changed my disposition. Think about how you got up every day before. Think about the misery you used to be in when you got saved. The psalmist said it like this in Psalm 40, I waited for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Look at this verse. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even the praise of unto our God. Many shall see it, fear, and shall trust in the Lord. I don't know what you used to be when you got saved. I can't boast of a lot of things because the only drug problem I ever had was getting drugged to church. Amen. I can't testify to that. But I can be testified of a black-hearted, hell-deserving sinner. But I've been around people, even people in this place. Brother Bullet Ward's not here tonight. He got saved since he'd been at Gateway. Brother Bullet, he has cancer now, and he's not long for this life. But I've heard men talk about Bullet Ward. They say he was the meanest, nastiest highway patrolman around here you'd ever meet. But I've never met that man. I've met a sweet little humble man that God broke down one day and saved him and made him just a sweet little gentleman. I've met a man back in Lenore where I came from, served time in jail for murder. Big old fist, just a mean man. They said the police was afraid of him. I don't know that man. That's not the man that I met. I met a man that ran into Jesus one day and he changed his whole disposition, his whole attitude in life. Some of you would be the ones, if we was going out knocking on doors or be in the house, you would have said, stay away from there. That guy will cuss you. That's an evil man. Some of you, you might have been the one that had to wade through the beer cans or through the marijuana smell, whatever it was, or just down in the bottoms in the slums of what God do. He changed your whole attitude. That one that used to cuss, testifies and brags on Jesus. That one used to rant and rave and curse God, now sings praises to God. Hey, that motivates me tonight. That motivates to me tonight. Jesus did for me what nobody else could do. Hey, I've tried to witness to men that are trying to get into rehab and AA and all these other things, and it don't work. But boy, I've met men that run into Jesus one day. He took the bottle. He took the pill. He took the joint. He took the habits. Thank God Jesus does that for a man, and that motivates me after all he's done for me. Salvation's changed. What a blessing that is. I'm glad they lifted me up and lifting me out. There's something here, else here that can motivate us. Look at verses 18 through 20. Bible says here, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled
unto God. Something else that should motivate us is not just salvation's change, but the saints' calling. Let's look at this calling. Number one, it's a call from above. Verse 18 tells us all things are of God who hath reconciled us. Look, it says, and given us the ministry of reconciliation. I was thinking about that call from above, and I know all of us, when we think about a call, we start thinking about a preacher, a missionary, but you know, saint of God, you've got a call on your life tonight. I thought about tomorrow night, we'll go out and we'll go door knocking. We'll get some tracts to people, try to encourage them to come to the house of God and pray that God opens a door that we can share with the gospel. What right do we have to do that? By what authority do we have to do that? We walk into how? Are you not soliciting? Are you not trespassing? You want me to tell you what authority I have to do that? God's authority. He's given me that ministry of reconciliation. He gave me that authority. I can go to any man anytime and tell him about Jesus and not have to back down one bit. I've got that authority. Thank God I've got authority to go to the throne room of God tonight. I have the authority by God to stand before you tonight. I don't boast in that, but praise God, I take confidence in that, because see, I can't do this. I can't do this. Man, I had to go back and finish high school after I was too old to do it. Hey, I went to a little rinky-dink Bible college. I wasn't smart enough to go to a real Bible college. I can't do this. But thank God, him that he calls, God enables any good thing that ever comes out of this mouth, out of this man, is a result of God's appointment and God's call on him. And anything good that ever comes out of you, when you stand and sing, feel God's touch on you, when you begin to witness to somebody and you feel that power and you feel something from somewhere else, and suddenly you're not a mouthpiece, you're a conduit from another world. That's not you. That's God's calling on you. But it's from above, but thank God it's sent abroad. We have a commission. Verse 19 says, we are now ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. I touched on that just a little bit, but the commission, the whole purpose of a child of God is to tell the world and tell the story. Boy, what a failure I am. Every time I pass up an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus, he told them in Acts 1:8, he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's your house and your town and your workplace and your country and the whole world. But we've got that calling from above. These missionaries, hey, Brother Bill, when you go to the jail, you've got authority. Jeff, when you get over there in Santan Valley, you've got the authority, the calling of God. You've been sent abroad by God. Don't have to back up. Don't have to back down. Don't have to apologize for it. God's calling on you. Well, sometimes we go out with our heads down, and we try to pull that track out of our pocket and give it away. Can I give you something? Can I please? Brother, don't do it in private. Keep your chin up. Go out with all boldness. I've got a mandate from glory. Hey, I've got an invitation from God to you to glory. Hey, he said to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. He told them to go to all the world and preach the gospel. And he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Hey, he said he's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. So there's not a place on the earth that's not covered by God's call, his mandate, and everywhere you can go, God will meet you there with his authority and his power and his blessing. Amen. But then saints' calling is from above, it's sent abroad, but it's set apart. If you look over on the next page of your Bible, the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This is the difference in us. That saint's calling is what makes us different. Hey, I want to remind you, you're the salt of the earth, child of God. You're the cream of the crop. What is it about you or about what you've got that appeals to this world? It's where God changed you. It's what God changed and what God set apart in you. We need to be different. We need to act different. We need to talk different. We need to look different. But you know what that different needs to be? It needs to be what God's put in your heart. It needs to be that power and touch of God in your life. Remember, when we separate, we're not separating from. Praise God, we're separating to. God, in that verse, he didn't say get apart. He said come, come. That's your separation, getting up next to God and getting God all over you. That's when the people get around you and they talk to somebody that's been around the Lord, somebody full of the Holy Ghost. That's why they walk away and smacking their lips. That's Saul. Hey, I want that. That's what I want. And that's where that saints' calling is involved. Those things that motivate us, our change and our calling. But something else that motivates us here, and we're We're moving on. Make sure my second hands are moving on my watch, or my minute hands. Sometimes they don't move. Make sure I'm not looking just at the digital. Oh, we'll be here at breakfast tomorrow. Amen. But not just the change of salvation, the saints' column. Let's look at the Savior's compassion. Let's look in verse 14 again. Talk about that, how the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. Then the Bible says in verse 15, he that died for all, that they should, I can't even read that, that they which should live not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. The last verse of the chapter, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Savior's compassion ought to be a motivation in our life. What did he do? I love 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. If you turn over another page or two in your Bible, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. What did the Savior do in his compassion? I thought about what he left behind. Hey, Jesus was in this world. He was not of this world. Hey, long before you were ever born, when God was thinking up the framework of heaven, Christ was right there by his side. He was there receiving the adoration of heaven. He was there receiving the praises of the angels of God. See, he didn't come into existence in Bethlehem. He just transported into this earth we live in there at Bethlehem by means of a virgin womb. But he left that all. We sing that song sometime, once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. The songwriter says they searched through heaven. They had to look far for Jesus. He was looking for us. But there came one from heaven, a perfect man, a perfect one, and came to this earth. Not just what he left behind, but look what he laid down. Why did Jesus cry? Why did Jesus Christ come to this earth? He came to die. Jesus was not a martyr. Thank God he was a sacrifice. He died in my place. There had to be a sin debt paid. I couldn't pay it, but the God-man, the perfect man, the sinless one laid down his life for Mark D. Wooker. Amen. He laid it down for Bill Adair and Grant Allen. He laid it down for Brother Jerry Heilman. He laid it down, thank God, for the Savior's love. Boy, hey, Paul said, I owe a debt. He said, you're bought with a price. Aren't you glad Jesus paid it all? Hey, how can we grumble? How can we grumble about the way getting hard? Oh, God, it's just too hard for me. Aren't you glad after they beat him all night long, those soldiers had scourged him when they laid that cross over his shoulders? He didn't stop halfway up the track going to Golgotha and say, I'm tired. I just can't do it anymore. I just don't feel like it. It's too hard. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. He reached way down. He looked way far ahead in time. He looked into this room tonight. He saw the faces of these that one day be birthed in the family of God as a result of Calvary. Boy, he lowered his shoulder, got in there, and he went on just a little farther. Praise God, if that could motivate him, if I could motivate him to go on unto God, couldn't he motivate me to go on a little more after what he's done? It motivates us what he laid down, but thank God for what he lifted up. I'm glad it didn't end on Calvary. I'm glad it didn't end in a graveyard. I'm glad on that third day Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Hey, if these guys could get motivated over the Middle East, over some man in a grave that died and scratched writings on a leaf, or these guys could get motivated in India over Hinduism or Buddhism, my, why can't I get excited and motivated over the fact that I serve a risen Savior? Hey, I'm glad, thank God, he's alive. Hey, can I remind you tonight, and he's well, he's not old and gray, he's still in business, but thank God he's alive. That ought to motivate you. He's able, thank God, and he's alive. But not only what he left behind, lift up. One more thing here. What he lobbies for. I just tried to alliterate that, Brother Hughes. You have to bear with me. You're the smart one in here tonight. But what he works for, what's Jesus doing right now? I quote a little bit of the verse a while ago, Hebrews 7:25, wherefore is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So what happened? Jesus died on the cross, he rose and went for heaven and lived happily ever after. No, he's busy right now.
He's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. You realize how this thing works? We have such aid in our lives. I have a helper in my heart in the person of the Holy Ghost. Then I have a helper in heaven in the person of Jesus Christ sitting by the throne of God. I mean, every time I sin, and that accusation comes before God's throne, He looks over the Son. He holds up that nail-pierced hands, points over the blood on the mercy seat. No problem. It's already been taken care of because of the work of Calvary. He's interceding for us. He's helping us. Hey, thank God He's helping me right now. I hope He's helping you. I'm glad, thank God, He didn't quit on us then. Hey, He could have stopped right there, Brother Ronnie. He could have said, I've died for Him. That's all I need to do. But you know what He's doing on the throne? He's right there. He's caring for us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I was thinking a while ago, as I mentioned, how sometimes we get down, how the Lord got down. And as much as He could say, He could sit there and say, I made it, you make it. No, He's not like that. He pities us like a father pities his children. Brother, we get low down. He don't get down beside us like a drill sergeant. Thank God He gets under the load with us. I'm glad, thank God, He's my great burden bearer. I'm glad He lifts me up, helps me carry the load, and He helps me. I don't know if you realize how great of a God we've got tonight. I don't know if you realize how good Jesus is. Sometimes it overwhelms me, and I'd be honest, it's getting pretty big up here about right now, but I praise the Lord tonight, and I rejoice. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a friend. I praise Him for Jesus. No wonder Peter said to them that know Him, He's precious. Thank God He's precious to me tonight. I'm glad He's my refreshment. I'm glad He's my comfort. I'm glad, thank God, He's my friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for Jesus. No wonder God exalted Him and gave Him a name which is above every name. Hey, you don't have to twist my arm for me to bow before Him tonight and call Him Lord. You don't have to twist my arm tonight to make me praise Him. Thank God for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Boy, it's pretty motivating itself. Boy, what sets Him apart? What sets Him apart from all these other so-called gods? This day of political correctness and tolerance, I want to remind you, there's still one way. There's still one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. And it's not just because He is the only one, but thank God He is. He is the only one. Thank God He's the better one. If there's others, it'd still be the best. I'm glad my Jesus tonight has eyes that can see, ears that can hear, hands that can touch, a mouth that can speak, feet that can walk, and a heart that can love. Nobody else can boast in that tonight. Praise the Lord for the Savior's compassion. But the last thing I want to mention to you tonight that motivates us, I hope that change in your life makes you want to go on for God. I hope that calling of God makes you want to go on for God. I hope that compassion makes you want to go on for God. But there's something else here I want to mention. Look at verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. I think about this judgment seat. Do you see what he said in verse 11? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Now I know, and I'll say some more, I'm glad my sins have already been judged. And man, we ought to stop and call time out right there. Amen. It's done. I'll never be judged for my sins. Praise the Lord. But boy, after that, my works, what I do for the Lord, I'll be judged for. My motives of why I do it, I'll be judged for. All those things you do, you work so hard and you bellyache, you'll be judged for that too. I'll be judged for that. I told Brother Kenya the other week, he keeps sticking me with these hard Sundays. He takes the sugar sticks and gives me the murmuring and the rebellion, Brother Hughes. I guess he figures I'm more experienced in those areas than he is. I don't know. That's sad to say. You get up sometimes, you feel like you don't know what you're talking about. I give him that murmuring, man. I feel like I've mastered that. But we'll stand before God for that. I'll stand and I'll answer about it. It's sobering to us. You know, I try to imagine standing before the Lord. I believe it. 1 John 2:28 says that when He comes, we could stand before Him and not be ashamed. Boy, I don't want to be ashamed when I stand before the Lord. I want to be like Paul and nothing ashamed, nothing bringing dishonor to Him. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to stand before Him and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Boy, I'm afraid that a lot of us are in for a rude awakening. Boy, we've used the wrong standard for our lives. Well, I'm doing better than him. Sometimes we think, since I'm coming to church 3 times a week, Brother Terry, that we're doing God a service. He talked about presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service.
But it's sobering to know that one day I'll stand before God. You know, I get after my boys sometimes, and really a lot of times, but there's always an excuse. There's always a way, don't matter what they've done, they can justify what they've done in their minds. I taught them that. I can do that too. They justify in their minds. Your children do that. It's a natural human response. And you come up with a good excuse. Well, I've done this and that. Well, this happened. I'm fine. Well, what are you going to do when you stand before God? And He don't look into your mind. He don't look in your circumstances. Boy, He goes straight to the heart of the matter. Because a lot of times we say, I know my heart. I don't know my heart like God does. And God looks down on your heart. Boy, that's something ought to wake us up. A lot of times we go through this life nonchalantly. And praise the Lord, we'll not face Him for our sins, but we'll face Him. After all He's done for us, after all He's given us, all He's blessed us, we're going to face Him one day. Boy, that'll wake us up tonight. But it's sobering, but it's specific. Boy's going to put his finger on things. That little thing we think we've got hit out and we hadn't worried about and we've got by with, He's going to lay His finger right on it. That's the one right there. But He's going to be specific in it. But then, you know, I want to give you this. It's going to be speedy. Now, this teenager is just going to go right over your head. But some of you heard me tell this before. I was talking to somebody yesterday. I was talking to my brother-in-law, and he's got a little grandson. I said, man, it seems like yesterday we was at the hospital with him. He's a little 12, 13-year-old boy. I said, and the day before that, I was getting news that Carolyn was pregnant with Micah. And then the day before that, I was sitting in a ninth grade English class wishing that I was old and out of school. And then I opened my eyes, and I was. Boy, this thing's coming in a hurry. And some of you folks can testify that more than I can. James warned us, whereas we know not what should be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's just a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanisheth away. Boy, it's like riding a bicycle down a hill. You get on a certain part and you feel like you got control, then all of a sudden you reach that certain slope and you're just hanging on for life. Sometimes I feel like this thing's going so fast, Brother Mark, that I'm just dangling. And it's getting away from me. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to leave this life. And that I'm going to be able to face it. Praise God, we rejoice in the fact that Jesus is coming. But you know where we're going from the rapture? We're going from the rapture to the reckoning. While the tribulation's going on in this earth, we're going to be there at the throne. And everybody's going to hear. Everybody's going to hear. You're going to face God. And Bill, you're going to find out all about me. And I'm going to find out all about you. And we're going to be awful disappointed. But as disappointed as we are, don't let that pride kick in there. You don't need to worry about what I think right now. You need to worry about the one you're going to be facing then. Boy, when I stand before Him, I want to take some people with me. I want to have some crowns that I could give to Him. Here you go, Lord. This is for you. Boy, that ought to motivate me. That day of motivated us in school, knowing that project was due, knowing that test was due. It'll motivate some of you guys in college. You'll find that motivation. But I'm going to tell you what, this is stronger than any of that. Boy, the devil tries to bind us to this eternal perspective. We try to go to sleep and, well, hell's there. We know it's there somewhere, but it really affects us, doesn't touch us. We know judgment's coming. We know death's coming, but it's not here right now. I'm going to tell you what, before you know it, it's going to be here. And I encourage you, let that motivate you. Thank God, we've got reason to go on. We've got plenty to stir us. Beside an emotion, we've got plenty of truth. But I encourage you, go on with God. Go on for God. Do all you can, as long as you can, the best you can. Go on for God. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Jeff, I need you to get a song tonight. I appreciate you listening tonight. Appreciate you praying. Appreciate the Lord's help tonight. I don't know the need of your heart while our heads bowed and our eyes closed, while they're getting a song together. Nobody looking but me tonight. I know I've basically preached to save people tonight, but it may be that in the stillness in this moment, nobody looking around but this preacher, maybe there'll be somebody say, Brother Tim, I don't know that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that in the house? If you don't know him, I highly recommend him. Anybody all over the place, well, praise the Lord. I'll take it from that everybody's here saved. But I trust, child of God, that you're ready to meet him. I trust that you're living for him, and that you're ready to face him one day in judgment. If God spoke to your heart tonight, I want to have a word of prayer, and I encourage you to come. Just do whatever business with God you need to do. Father, I come before you in Jesus' name tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your help. Thank you, God, for your liberty in this place tonight. Now, Lord, I pray you just take what's been said tonight. Lord, I pray that folks have been lifted and encouraged, but I pray, God, they've been challenged by the sobering fact that one day we're going to meet you. And I pray, oh God, that you just speak to hearts, Lord. Lord, it's awful easy to get cold in this race. And I pray, God, that you just rekindle the flame in somebody's heart tonight. God, those that are weary, Lord, I pray you just strengthen them tonight. God, those that are wandering, I pray, God, you'd convict them tonight. Lord, you'd get back where they need to with God. Lord, you take the remainder of this service, and for what you do, we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.